Hey, you ready for more? Lena here with Morning Minutes. Welcome if you're just tuning in. If you've been with us the whole season, that you are, I'm glad you're back. And we are today in episode 26. Morning Minutes, the season is 1 Corinthians. We are a good third into the book. We're called this season, Listen Up, Applying Biblical Wisdom for Everyday Life. And today, episode 26 is from 1 Corinthians 7, 17 to 24. We are in the chapter on marriage and singleness. I titled today's episode, What Does My Marital Status Have to Do with My Calling? Well, let's find out. Here's what Paul writes. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned him to and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it, but if you gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a free man of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. So do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him remain with God. That's it. That's our reading. You might want to go back and read it again later. What does my marital status have to do with my calling? Just want to give you some nuggets from this section that has a ton in it. So much so that I wrote a book out of the chapter 1 Corinthians 7 that I think you'll enjoy, whether you're single or married. And I gave away a free copy yesterday. If you missed a chance, email me today and I'll send you a copy. My email is lena@livingwithpower.org. So what does my marital status have to do with my calling? Number one, it is impossible to study God's word and not see that your marital status is part of your calling. I didn't say that marriage is part of your calling. I said that your marital status is part of your calling. Meaning, let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned him and to which God has called him. He's talking about singleness and marriage. He's called some of you to singleness, some to marriage. If he's called you to singleness, then that is part of your calling today. If he's called you to marriage, that is part of your calling today. Your calling might change. You might be married tomorrow, or you might become a widow tomorrow, and on and on and on. You might divorce, etc. So whatever the calling that God has you, it is impossible to read this chapter and not come to that conclusion. God has a life and calling within the context of whatever your marital status is. So for better or for worse, your singleness and your marriage are part of your God-given calling. I didn't say your lifelong calling, but for your God-given calling for today. Let's call it a seasonal calling. For better or for worse, God has a purpose for your present dating status. This is a word to singleness. Embrace your calling. We're going to talk more about it today, all right? In fact, here, let's go to point number two, which is the next logical step. It is impossible for you to live out your calling if you're fighting it, okay? If you're single, longing to be married, and that's all you think about, you're never going to live out your calling. Your calling isn't just your dating status. If you're a teacher or a doctor or a missionary and you're single and you long to be married and you wake up in the morning and everything you pray about is the marriage and everything you think about is the marriage and you go online and you're looking, man, you're so consumed by this thing that you can't live out your actual calling and the calling of thriving in singleness and the calling of ministering to your students and your patients and on and on and on. Do you see how if you're fighting, same goes if you're married. If you're married and want to be single and all you think about is what a jerk the guy is and how he's treating you badly and or vice versa, what a mean wife you have and she never has sex with you and she's passive aggressive and on and on. If all you're doing is focusing on that, if you can't take joy in your calling and start to live out a godly life in the context of your calling, you won't find the joy that is yours in your current dating situation. So there comes a point to accept the life that God has called you to. Acceptance is surrender. There comes a point to surrender to the life God has called you to. You can't just accept it. There's a deeper surrender, a turning over, an understanding that God, I might not choose this, but I'm accepting it because it is what you have put before me right now. And pray and ask God, if you're longing to change it, then pray to God, but then move on. And stop fighting it. Surrender, submit to God in the area that he has you in. So there comes a point to rejoice in the life God has called you to. That's when you know you're surrendered and when you're no longer upset about it. Now, it doesn't mean rejoicing isn't just, oh, yippee, I'm single again. No, there's a joy in knowing that God has given me the best for me today. There's a sense of rest, of being still and knowing that God is God. God knows me better than I know myself. He knows what I need and when I need it. and there's a yielding to him. So it is impossible to study God's word and not see that your marital status is part of your calling. It is impossible for you to live out your calling if you're fighting it. And then number three, it is impossible to follow Jesus and not understand that before you identify as single or married, you are first a servant of Jesus. Okay? This is huge. In fact, I would push and say, before you identify by your sexuality, you are first a follower, a servant, a child of God, a servant of Christ, all right? What is your identity? What do you see yourself as? Do you wake up in the morning and see yourself, I'm a single, first and foremost. I'm a heterosexual, first and foremost. What do you see yourself as? The church right now, we're struggling with this. We see ourselves as we're Americans, we're conservative, we're liberal, we're progressive, or we're on and on and on. And that is a wrong lens to see ourselves in. We are first and foremost followers of Jesus. And that's what he's talking about when he talks about slavery. I mean, I believe God hates slavery, and I praise God that that has been an issue that is now in the past. I know there are some places where this is still exists. I'm not naive to that. But what Paul's saying is there's a greater freedom than the freedom that we can gain in this life, and it is the freedom that we have in the Lord, so that no matter where you live, you are free in Christ. You might even be in a marriage that feels like a prison, but you are free in Christ. So first, what is the identity that you see yourself as? Do you see yourself as single and married, or do you see yourself as a follower of Jesus, a child of God? Your identity has to be rooted in Christ, and your strength comes from the depth of your vertical identity. So if you see someone who's strong in the Lord, strong in their marital status, it's because first they see themselves as a child of God, loved by the Father, with a purpose for their life. I pray that you are living out your calling. I pray that you can, with me, admit that it is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it, is there? Hey, I love you guys. Need more info, need prayer, send me an email at lena@livingwithpower.org.